Hi, everybody. Chip Hughes, NIHS. I work for the worker training program and have been part of the disaster research response. And to me, what's exciting about this project as a citizen and a taxpayer is that pieces of HHS, you know, have really evolved over the past 5 years to be incredibly integrated both within HHS, with our partners, and across the government. And it's been really exciting to see that happen. Because unfortunately, it doesn't happen a lot in government, but don't quote me on that, okay. I just want to cover a couple of points, a little background on our program, the work that we've done. I wanted to touch on the thing Aubrey talked about training people who actually deploy. And then we did a real-world exercise to practice these issues in real time to see how that would go. And what we did was develop a concept of operations for disaster research deployment and touch a little bit on our lessons learned that we had. The program that I direct was started actually in 86 under Superfund. We're the Hazwoper people, and our program supports cooperative agreements across the country to deal with people in hazardous situations, from nuclear power plants to nuclear weapons complex cleanup to regular normal garden variety Superfund situations. And what we have actually developed, I'm sorry, is we have our own activation plan that we do for our hazmat trainers. And, you know, one of the things that we sort of touch upon in terms of this kind of rubric is how we actually intervene at earlier stages in the response in terms of responder protection. And one of the challenges that we've had since, for example, a nice one is the World Trade Center cleanup, where we trained 7,000 people, I don't know, it was in November. But, you know, the issue of how we actually intervene at an earlier stage, which I think every speaker has touched upon, is a challenge for us both as far as thinking about health and safety during the response. This is actually from our seminal piece that Dr. Lurie was part of in terms of research response execution. And as Aubrey mentioned, in Los Angeles in April, we decided that we would actually do a tabletop plus exercise that we worked off of the USGS, U.S. Geological Survey, scenario. That was the first time that a government agency had sort of modeled what a tsunami hitting the United States might involve in terms of human and environmental catastrophe and damage. And we started this with deciding that we would engage any federal agencies, all state agencies, local agencies, and all community organizations that would be in Long Beach, California. So we decided, and it was kind of funny with how it worked out, because as we pitched this to the cabinet agencies of California, they sort of said that they couldn't conceive of a scenario that would be bad enough where the federal government would have to be, you know, involved. So they thought the tsunami wasn't bad enough. So actually, the scenario that we created was actually on day 15 after the tsunami hit, of an oil refinery exploding. And we were trying to specifically look at the worker and community impacts of that refinery explosion in the middle of, okay, this is like science fiction. But we actually were able to engage people because we had a horrific and catastrophic enough scenario that they decided that they would play with us. So we used that and we did it we attempted to do it in real time. So again, as sort of everybody's already touched on, we thought what we would do was actually operationalize these concepts with a group of, well, we had about 150 people who we had around both a incident command table and then supporting stakeholder tables that looked at how we would respond to the questions as they arose during this response to the tsunami and the oil refinery explosion. And as has been touched upon by all the speakers, we tried to think about how we would actually operationalize each of these elements in real time with real groups. And what was really interesting about this was, I'm not from California, but, and I know California is really cool, and I don't want to offend anybody from California, but it was really interesting where all the state public health agencies and local public health agencies did not have a sort of connectivity to the partners that we worked were UCLA and USC. So I think one of the things that we learned, interestingly, and David, I know you know this, where how you have a university community that are researchers versus the state agencies who are responders. As a result of this activity, I think we were able to really bring people together in terms of having them figure out this question of how do you integrate into the incident command. One of the things that we did that, again, I just wanted to touch on was we developed a webinar for every person who was a participant that we built based on the people in Long Beach who were the emergency responders that tried to do what we normally do in a normal federal disaster, which is create a just-in-time or just-too-late training program that would give you like a heads up about what you're going to face in the field, which, for example, the Center for Domestic Preparedness is doing right now for people who are headed to West Africa, where you sort of do an overview of this is what the ports and the refinery look like, these are the hazards, this is what it would look like after a tsunami hit. And we did this in our framework from OSHA of a HASP, where you would think about a health and safety plan for a specific location, and then what we were trying to do then was have all the known hazards, doing a job hazard analysis for researchers of what they would face going into this situation. And historically, this is what we've done on actually all of the federal disaster scenarios, the 16 primary disaster scenarios. We've created training materials that respond to all of them. And this is kind of what we've used in the past. So for example, when you put this chart up to a bunch of academic researchers, they're like, WTF, you know? I mean, I don't understand. I mean, where do we fit in, you know? Because and really, that was a challenge that we were trying to figure out, which is how would you actually engage with this organizational chart? My program and what we've done over the last couple of decades, we actually interface with the safety officer because that's where responder protection goes. And when I think back to the BP oil spill with having Admiral Galloway intervene, which Dr. Lurie helped create, you know, we were trying to think about how do we actually have Thad Allen have somebody that's a person who's a public health person that could be a go-to person that can think about these issues. And I think we were sort of experimenting with that at Deepwater Horizon. And, of course, the additional layer, we had those BP people there, too, and that made it all, like, really interesting. So where we would sort of end up in environmental response would be in operations and with the hazard evaluation unit in the incident command. So that was kind of how we played in this scenario in Los Angeles. And again, just to touch on a couple of topics, the regular HAZCOM stuff that I'm sure people are familiar with, that we had a module on that. We felt like heat stress was really important in terms of Southern California and what people would be facing in an austere environment. Our normal debris stuff in terms of health hazards of the debris components that people would want to do a heads up about. And then, you know, we sort of designed a kind of ensemble of what a research responder might face if they were actually collecting data in this austere environment. And again, for us now with every activity, every response we do, traumatic stress, whether it's psychological first aid or SISM or whatever approach you want to take, we feel like that's an important heads-up item for any person who's involved in response. So that was kind of, we did a couple of hours briefing for everybody who participated in terms of what they would need to think about and do. So our tabletop in April This is kind of the main goals that we did, that we had, which was to test the concept of operations that actually designed how we would implement and deploy a team to Long Beach, California. And we went through also with our webinar and with our about 6 month planning process, we went through each of these items with the participant groups that included unions, universities, state and local health departments, the actual emergency responders, the Long Beach Police Department. We tried to make it be as real as possible. And then what we had for the first half of the day is we had everybody actually went to the locations. We actually went to the refinery that was going to blow up. We actually went to the ports, to the ships out into the harbor. We had a community-based tour that happened to kind of identify, actually those are Superfund sites and refineries using toxics release inventory data. We actually had the SAFER scenario that had an environmental health report that identified all of the hazards that would happen in the aftermath of the tsunami. So that was kind of our first part. And then actually we had our environmental justice community organizations led the tour at the Wilmington refinery and kind of laid a good grounding for people in the actual location. So our tabletop had three phases. And again, this is kind of our core thing that all of us are talking about, which actually NIOSH has spoken to very nicely around research trigger issues. And so the first phase just looked at research triggers. And again, that's kind of what Dr. Lurie was talking about. Are there actually science questions here that we want to engage upon? And then we did actually the field engagement process, and then our longer-term transition. And so that's kind of our incident command table in the middle that involved actually universities, actually the state environmental and public health agency, our actually regional health advisors, HHS, the police department, et cetera. So this was the scenario that we pitched to the state and, you know, tried to make it horrific enough where they talked to us. And fortunately, we were able to pull that off. And then this is kind of our con ops that we created. And again, it's kind of like as you look at the evolution of this project over the last 5 years, this is where I'd say the rubber starts to hit the road, where a lot of the issues that Sam and Aubrey kind of touched upon, we were actually trying to dig in from an operational point of view of how we would actually put people out there, how we would get the agreement and the collaboration from the community up front to actually make that happen. And this is kind of our first phase was around the activation. And again, you know, it could be an ASPR activation. It could be just based on the local community being activated directly from USC or UCLA. It could be actually Shelley Duteau, the state health department. There are a number of different ways that that could happen. This is our first phase of engagement, that pre-engagement, engagement and transition and after action. And then what I just want to touch on at the end is we actually did an after action report from our exercise and tried to kind of in the three phases come up with kind of our lessons learned that we had from each of them. And again, situational awareness and our process of getting engaged that in the biz we call like the prescripted mission assignment in the FEMA terminology, what that would kind of look like in terms of the triggers when this would happen. And then think about coordination with community, state, and local up front. We sort of identified ESF-8 as a place where this would fit into the incident command system in terms of getting into the field and coordinating with the existing response. And then in terms of our transition recovery, you know, I think we really got incredible engagement from the local community organizations and universities where we know, just like we've known with the 30,000 people that are still being followed in the oil spill or the 8,000 people that are still being followed in the World Trade Center, or all of the sandy science that's going on that, you know, we know that actually disasters never end. I mean, they live with people, people hold on to them, you know, and they're part of your life forever. So with many of the ones we've been engaged with, we know that this is like an ongoing recovery and resiliency process that that is part of. So anyway, that our sort of summary was that, you know, with the diversity that we had and with the groups that we did, that we had, we really got a good sense of how this would actually happen in real time and had really good engagement. So as Aubrey mentioned, we want to try to do this in Houston at the Gomery. And I don't know if we'll replay the BP oil spill, but we'll do something like that that would be horrific enough that people would engage with us. So that's coming soon. Anyway, thank you guys very much.